This is a HeadGum Podcast.
All right, y'all ready? Episode 74. Let's do this.
Play that theme song.
Oh my God, fine.
I...
You knew I was going to do it. It's fine.
I hoped you wouldn't.
Oh, well, you hoped
wrong. I hoped that in the 2 days since we recorded the last episode, you would have grown as a person.
Oh, it was your mistake to expect me to grow.
There it is.
Punch it. Hey.
It's time for
Punch
Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hey!
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Guys, man, you guys don't even get to see the best part of this, is Miel's dancing back and forth.
Oh, God, it's such a good song.
Oh, thank you. Welcome to Punch Up the Jam.
His name's Demi.
Oh, her name's Miel.
And we are... Punch Up the Jam. You are... How you're
We're
doing.
Not Punch... we ourselves are not Punch Up the Jam.
I feel like I am.
I'm not Punch Up the Jam. I'm Demi, and this is Punch Up the Jam.
I'm Miel, and I'm also Unch Up the Jam.
So I'm Puh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Good to know.
Yeah, you only get one letter, but it's the first one.
I'll take that.
Before we get into the song, you already know what it is. We're gonna get there, okay? Relax.
You already know what it is. Chill out.
I wanna know, Demi.
Hi.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. What time is it? It's 2?
2:33.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
On a Friday.
Sure is. Club going up.
That's not an answer.
Wait, so what is the question? How am I?
Yeah.
I said I'm good.
You told me the date and time, and then it said club going up.
I have to check in with what time it is currently to assess whether or not I'm doing well.
Oh, so you're like my mom leaving a voicemail. Hi, hon, it's 12:31 on Saturday afternoon.
Because here's the thing. I feel like... In my head, it's like, okay, I've had a little bit of my day going, but if it's like 5 p.m., then it's like, oh, I should have had more of my day done by now. Club day is going bad.
Okay, so the realization that if it's past half day that you haven't done enough is enough to ruin your day only upon reflecting on how your day has been.
Yes.
But if the day is early, does it go the other way? You go, I'm not justified to answer that at this
no,
point.
No, if the day's going early, or if the day feels like it's early to me, then I'm like, all right, got a lot of good stuff going. Things are moving.
I ate breakfast. I brushed my teeth.
I
took a nice BM. So good so far. So good, my man.
Yeah. I'm just checking out the list like poop, eat, stare out the window, contemplate your life. Yeah. All before 8 a.m. Ooh, I'm flying.
Yeah, I get that.
How are you?
I woke up kind of in a bad mood because for 4 nights in a row now, I've fallen asleep watching Chop Junior. And every time I've fallen asleep before, I find out who wins.
Ooh.
And so at this point, it's just like I've given myself Chop Junior blue balls.
Sure.
And last night, I fell asleep at 8:30 p.m.
I did the same thing.
You did?
Yes.
Oh my God, friend synergy.
What are we doing here today?
This is the first episode where I've done a punch up and Demi has no idea what's happening.
Oh yeah. I'm in the dark completely, which was an uncomfortable period for me yesterday just because I was like, I don't have to prepare anything. What do I do? Which I think is why I fell asleep early.
I get it, man. You were so relaxed.
Yeah.
I'm happy to take that burden off your hands.
Thank you.
So to add whatever the opposite is of injury to the opposite of insult for you.
never mind. Gratitude to helpfulness.
Demi also doesn't know this song.
Yeah.
Which is shocking.
I don't know what to
say. I am appalled.
Like, so appalled suggests this is something I should hear.
I mean, I'm just surprised you've made it this far in life and you haven't become intimately familiar with this song.
This sounds like Teenage Dirtbag by Weedus.
So many songs have ripped off this chord progression.
Yeah.
And I first heard this song probably by some bro in my high school playing it on acoustic guitar in the comments during lunch.
That seems like the mid-generation hell.
Yeah, I mean, it came out in 1996.
Oh no.
Why oh no?
Just... In my head, this song comes out much later in...
Oh, yeah.
In the world.
I think that's really a testament to this song's longevity, that it still sounds like something that came out 3 years ago, 4 years ago.
Wait.
No, we're not there yet. We'll get
there. I just heard the chorus and...
We'll get there.
Okay, wait. So
we'll
let me
there.
Explain
we'll
my history with this song. I genuinely had not ever in my life heard this song until I saw Lady Bird, mm-hmm. which I saw twice, so I realized that
it's
I've heard
film.
It.
It's a great film, yeah.
It's a wonderful, almost perfect movie. But there's a scene in it that, like, they make this the cornerstone of it, and mm-hmm. I feel like it's supposed to be a joke. Everyone's supposed to go like, ah, ha, ha, I remember listening to that song, and I only knew it was a joke because I heard people around me laugh, and so I was like, oh, this is a song everyone recognizes and is laughing at the ironic use of it.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is the first time I'm hearing it.
You're like,
but
what's
I
the
recognize
deal? It sounds like a pretty nice guitar riff.
No, because I heard in Lady Bird the part I just heard, which is him going, crash!
I think you might mean
crash. Absolutely, I do. Can you turn that up?
Let's just do that one more time.
Crash. Oh, God. What is that?
We'll get there. So you're not totally wrong. You put it together correctly in the theater. It is a joke. And I want to say off the top, I'm not here to make fun of Dave Matthews Band. I think making fun of Dave Matthews Band is the least original take you could ever have.
Sure.
It's been done to death. So I'll tell you what other people have said about him, just to catch you up to speed, and anyone that might not know this song, because probably some of our listeners are too young.
You're all children.
The LA Weekly, a formerly cherished cornerstone of Los Angeles journalism, ranked them the worst band of all time.
All time?
All time. And here's the quote.
Okay.
Here's the quote. Dave is a jam act with no jams. Music for people whose favorite book is The Da Vinci Code and whose favorite TV show is 2 1/2 Men. It's Nickelback for kids with bachelor degrees. And I will say, in my personal experience, other than the bros playing guitar, and in Washington, we have the Gorge Amphitheater, where we have Sasquatch Music Festival.
Sure.
Beautiful. They are on hiatus now from playing. But for the 11 years previous, Dave Matthews Band played the Gorge over Labor Day weekend for 3 full nights and days. And guess what they called it?
What they called it at?
The event.
Crash into the Gorge?
Labor Dave.
Ooh, I love that.
And every
that sounds like an Eddie Murphy movie I'd watch.
Every, like, bro-y guy that you kind of are like, ugh, hi.
Sure.
They all loved going to that.
It was fish for college kids.
And they're known amongst music people as just having, like, some of the worst fans. A la Fish, a la Grateful Dead. That's kind of, like, the sad part about Dave Matthews Band is you'll never be able to take their music for what it is because you can't not know their fan base. But apparently you have the unique perspective of not knowing that.
True. Although I feel like I have a vague picture of Dave Matthews, and he's like dressed like Adam Sandler. Like, all his clothes are a little bit too big. He's got cargo shorts on.
I mean, he might have invented that look.
He's wearing sandals and not like flip-flops, not actual shoes.
Right. Like rainbow sandals.
Yes. That's what I'm picturing in my head.
Yeah. And it was nominated. Are you ready?
For
Grammy.
Oh.
For Best Rock Song, which confuses me because on Google it says the genre is jam band. But I guess jam band is rock. I don't know.
I feel like a jam band is a genre of a song and not a band. Like, I mean, of a band and not a song.
Is this jam band or rock? It doesn't feel like either to me.
It doesn't feel like a jam band.
No. So, one last tidbit on Dave Matthews Band before we discuss the song. Have you ever heard of Poopgate?
Oh, yes. This is the one thing I know about Dave Matthews Band, and it's such a funny factoid.
For those of us who don't know what Poopgate is.
For those uninitiated.
On the afternoon of August 8th, 2004, the Dave Matthews Band.
Was 8 years after Crash into Me.
Dave Matthews Band was on tour in Chicago, and the bus driver, for reasons only God can know, decided to empty the tour bus's septic tank over the Chicago River exactly as a boat tour was passing underneath. And so over 100 sightseers on the river to enjoy like a scenic architectural tour of the city instead were showered with the Dave Matthews Band's feces and urine.
Beautiful. It's just such a... I can't imagine how, like, some, like, Pitchfork writers just were salivating at the thought of getting to write that headline of, like, Dave Matthews Band finally did what their music was doing. They had shit crash into them.
Right. I have a quote from the passengers.
Oh, of course. Great.
They described a downpour of foul-smelling, brownish-yellow slurry that ruined their clothes and made several of them sick.
Oh, Jesus.
Which, like, I'm trying to imagine being this passenger and trying to have this nice tour day and then, A, getting covered in shit. I've been shit on by a bird before, and it's like a day ruiner.
Yeah.
So if my clothes, I mean, oh boy. And especially human shit, which you would know. You would know immediately that was human shit.
Yeah.
But then the second prong of this, finding out that it was Dave Matthews Band shit. Would you be less mad? Would you be more mad?
I don't think it would change the level of madness. I think it might just make me think of the scenario as a funnier one than an awful one. Like, I think shit just falling on me at random, I'd just be like, that, this is awful. This honestly sucks. And then just having the layer of, like, it was a famous man's shit. And it's a man that you have an image of already. Like, yeah. Most people were like, yeah, I have an opinion on Dave Matthews Band. Yeah. So for them to be like, all right, now I have to think of that band as the band that shat on me. I would just be like, this is no longer a tragic event. This is something I have to laugh about.
Let's get into the song, shall we? I've broken this up into just, like, notable lines. So we're going to skip some of the romantic stuff.
Cause... Oh, there's romance in this song?
Well, oh, my God. Listen to this song.
Again, I don't know what this song is about.
No. You don't need to. Just hear it. Does this make you want to kiss on, like, a nice summer's eve?
No. You know, maybe.
Yeah. This is like you just spotted your husband in the bottom of the field, and he's walking up to you, and there's, like, it's golden hour, and you're like, oh, my God. I've never felt more full of love in my whole life. And he's picking grapes on the way. And you already have a basket and
he's
a blanket.
Picking grapes on the way?
Yeah, he's going to feed you later like a god.
Oh, okay.
Intro, strummy guitars, everyone knows it. Here's the first line. You've got your ball, you've got your chain tied
to me, tie me up again. Okay, so it's like an old ball and chain type deal. Is that like is that a kink thing, or is it like a you're weighing me down, lady?
I don't think it's weighing me down. I think it's deliberately ambiguous about if it's a kink thing or if it's like emotional, like tied, I'm tied to you.
An emotional kink.
Like you're wrapped around me.
Sure.
Stay wrapped around me.
Got it.
Okay, so already you're like, this sounds like a really pretty love song, but what did you just say? All right, you know what, it's probably nothing. Let's move on. Who's got the claws in you, my friend? Into your heart beat again. Okay, I know he sings with a really weird accent for the
beat
second
again.
Half. It says, who's got their claws in you, my friend? Into your heart I'll beat again.
What is... What's... I don't understand.
I don't either. I think it's kind of just like, maybe you're already invested in somebody else, and then I'll beat again. Maybe they were in love. Who knows? I think it's kind of just general, like, okay. love lyrics.
So if it's like, yeah, if that's true, then it's like, oh, someone has fallen in love with you, or you fall in love with someone else, but don't worry. Soon I will be that person that you're in love with.
That's what it would seem like, right?
Okay.
Also, can we listen to him sing with that accent again? Because I love it. I'll beat
again. What accent is that?
Well... I found out he actually is from South Africa, which I didn't know.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, he has this accent a few times throughout the song. I think it's just
beat
like...
again.
He's like hot. He says, there's no R in this heart.
Hot.
And you're hot. Okay, so next line. Sweet like candy to my soul.
Sweet you rock and sweet you roll. I like that line.
I like it too, but can we listen to how he says candy again? Sweet
like candy. Candy.
Candy.
I'm missing you like candy, yeah.
So, last line of the verse, first verse. Lost for you, I'm so lost for you. Lost for you, I'm so lost for you.
Okay.
Can we just listen to
That's the whole,
listen again. Lost for you, I'm so lost for you. Lost for you, I'm so lost for you. I'm sure. He really puts an R in his, like, O sounds, which I think is part of why it's so easy to make fun of it, because that, after this song, kind of became, like, the Adam Sandler voice.
Right.
And you're like, oh, hurt. Like, I don't know. I can't impersonate it.
I just keep trying to figure out who this man's voice sounds like to me.
Okay, so now we get into the chorus. You ready?
Yes. Oh, when you come crash. Wait. Are those the glittery harp? That's all there?
Yeah, that's, I didn't add anything. That's
what?
Like the percussion's
the
going
chimes?
Nuts on the chimes. You want to hear it again?
Why did he? Oh, when you come crash.
What? The jam band, man. What did you expect?
I don't understand. That feels like it changes the song entirely.
Oh, well, you haven't heard anything yet.
Wait, but also, okay, that entire, like, 3-second segment or whatever, it goes so in so many directions.
Oh, yeah, it's a jam band, man.
Crash.
Oh, yeah, you want to hear that again? I soloed that. Crash. I knew you'd like that. But one more time. Crash.
Trash.
Oh, no.
What's insane is that you might think that that was like a stylistic choice just in the moment, but here's the beginning of the second chorus.
Crash.
Here's the third chorus.
Crash.
It's every time.
It sounds like he's trying to imitate someone opening a door very slowly.
I was thinking it was like a dinosaur waking up.
Or yes.
It kind of sounds like if you pitch modulated it way high, it would be like a perfect Nazgul impression. Like Frodo put the ring on for a second.
It. Oh, why does he do that? Mm-hmm. Why is that the... Is he wanted to sound like a crash, maybe? Like a crash of thunder.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's like crash. Some nice prosody. I think probably he just got really into it.
It also, it's a weird... The music playing behind it is just so... It sounds like the song is ending. Doom, 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 doom.
It's just getting started,
and
baby.
It's like in the first beat of the next... It's just such a weird placement for it.
Again, welcome to jam band rock, my man.
But
you gotta just slip into the stream, let it take you away, man.
Just let it crash into me?
I will say one theory about this crash.
Crash.
Does this sound a little sexy to you?
No.
Crash.
That doesn't sound like he's trying to
sing. I think it sounds like he's trying, but he's really not. He's not.
Well, let's finish that chorus, should we?
Okay.
Oh, when you come crash. Into me.
Now pay special attention here.
And to me.
Because this will become my cornerstone argument here. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Remember how I said it sounded kind of sexy?
Am I coming to
you? He says you. Yep. Okay. Wow. All right. Yeah.
Wait.
Am I coming to you?
There was any doubt about where he was coming. He tells you right where he's going to do it.
God damn it.
Am I interpreting that wrong? Is my mind in the gutter?
The thing is, like, no, your mind isn't in the gutter, but what... I'm just like, okay, but in my head, I'm like, yeah, they can't do that for real in a song like this, though. So what is the real... What was he trying to do? And I can't think of it.
Of course. I've luckily for you, I've taken a bunch of moments to try to explain it to you.
Okay.
But the truth is, it's not super overt, which is why I think this song has gotten away as being legendary as kind of like a classic lovey jam, which is why when I'm like, oh, doesn't this make you think
it sounds like Coldplay? That's what it sounds like to me.
Really?
He sounds like Chris Martin.
Wait, I'm sorry. This sounds like Chris Martin? Oh, wait, my
volume. Don't play Crash again.
I won't. My volume was down.
Crash. God damn it!
How does it taste, your own medicine?
It feels, I hate make that I made this medicine.
Yeah.
It's funny, though.
You're the monster now. I don't know if I agree. That sounds like Coldplay, but I'll keep it open mind.
Feeling in your soul. It's just like that weird, like, almost nasally singing sort of, I don't know.
So my personal opinion on experience with this song is that I heard it playing and at first was duped like everyone else. I was like, oh, this is so sweet. Or like a nice love song. And then the second I heard him say the come into me part, I even at 13 was like, ooh, wait, what now? I don't know. It was kind of like that weird feeling of like, I don't know if this is supposed to be sexy or
you
if I'm...
You crash into me and I come into you?
Yeah. Actually, right, it even starts with, oh, when you come, crash into me.
It feels like it's supposed to be like, oh, you know, when you embrace each other and the crash is like, oh, it...
No.
This is you coming back to me.
See,
from whoever got their claws into you or whatever. But then the come into you just makes it like, I don't know what he meant.
I was going to try to hold off my entire reason for choosing the song until we got further into it. But
yeah,
at this point,
please.
I can't. We've arrived at the chorus. It's right
here. This
is
here the part where it happens?
I mean, it's from here on out.
Okay.
So
here on out?
Well, listen to me here, okay? You ready?
Yeah,
you ready?
Yeah.
The chorus lyrics not being sung. I'm just going to tell you them.
Great.
Oh, when you come, crash into me, and I come into you. How is that anything other than overtly sexual? Right?
Yeah.
Find me like the poetic metaphor there.
I don't know it.
I can't, I don't, maybe I'm a freaking pervert, but I can't think of another
well,
way.
You're definitely a pervert. I don't know another way either. I don't.
And then all of a sudden it's giving new light to the first line of the song. You've got your ball, you've got your chain tied to me, tie me up again. You know? Now all of a sudden I'm like, okay, so maybe that was like a bondage thing. Who knows?
Maybe.
I think you need to hear more of the song, right?
I guess I do.
So I cut the next verse out because it's slow and romantic, but the lyrics are, touch your lips just so I know. In your eyes, love, it glows so. I'm bare-boned and crazy for you. And then that takes us to here.
God damn it.
You hear that sax? Wind chimes are back.
Doesn't he sound like Chris Martin?
I don't hear it.
Wait, play this again.
I hear Counting Crows more than Chris Martin. And I come
into... Sounds like Chris Martin.
Just to play devil's advocate here.
I mean, you don't have to play the devil, a.k.a. Chris Martin. I'm kidding. Coldplay is fine. I don't know why I'm, like, taking targets for no reason.
I know. I'm, like, actually scared if we're going to piss off some people with this
podcast. You know what? I'm going to just list a bunch of bands that aren't good.
It kind of sounds like this to me. Down at this yellow-haired girl, Mr. Jones strikes up a conversation. It's like a similar place in the throat.
Yeah, this guy sounds like a younger Dave Matthews. I feel like I just said this guy, and a bunch of people were like, This guy
like, from Counting Crows.
Yeah, like everyone's like, no, we know who this is.
Yeah, it's Adam.
Yeah, Adam Duritz.
You got it.
Yeah, he's just got that hair. Looks like Sideshow Bob.
Okay, again, you're offending people for no reason.
Sideshow Bob is beautiful.
Okay, third
I
verse.
I love you, Adam Duritz. Please don't be upset by that.
Friend of the podcast, Adam Duritz.
Friend of the pod.
Third verse, he says, if I've gone overboard, then I'm begging you to forgive me for my haste. When I'm holding you so, girl, close to me. And then I have the third one here, so we can just play it.
Crash.
God. Just kidding. It's actually this one.
Crash. Into me,
baby, and I come into. See, you want to sing along, right?
Yeah.
You hear that?
This fucking wood block's just been waiting.
Is that a woodpecker or is that a woodblock? Who's to say, you know?
If it's a wood. I could believe this playing in the, like, in the woods somewhere and a woodpecker just being like, hell yeah, I'm into this rhythm.
What I especially love is that it, like, changes pitches. Listen to this again.
Oh, you got lower woodpecking.
They have multiple woodblocks. That percussion man's, like, sprinting around hitting chimes and woodblocks.
I love it.
It's, I mean, I respect it.
I respect the instrumentation. I'm very upset about these lyrics.
Well, so far, I mean, the last, like, verse 2 and 3 doesn't give us a lot other than, like, it's a love song. You know, you're like, okay, yeah, love you song. So now all that's a little bit out of sorts here is that first line, and then obviously the chorus, I come into you.
Yeah.
I will never get over how gross that is to me. That's grosser than, like, a rap song. He just took an,
like
explicit
a rap song.
Lyric
yeah.
and put it on, like, a nice little sing-songy tune and sung in this little soft velociraptor voice so no one ever knew what he was really saying.
I don't understand what he's saying either.
All right, well, thankfully, I have the next verse right here, okay? So we just listen to the wood block. Here we go. Hike up your skirt a little more. Wait, here it is. Show the world to me. What was that? What did
you
say?
Wait, show the world? Hike up your skirt a little more.
Show your world to me. A boy's dream. Did you catch that?
Did you say a boy's dream?
Did you catch that?
What the fuck?
So he said, hike up your skirt a little more and show the world to me.
Show,
then he,
no, no,
then he
said,
repeats it. Hike up your skirt a little more and show your world to me.
That's, oh, wow. Did you hear that tuba come in on the second half?
Let's hear it again. Oh, yeah. I think that's a baritone sax.
Ugh, no matter what it is. I just can't stop imagining in the record of this, all of the people on instruments who are just waiting until the last possible moment to be like, all right, yeah, I'll come in with my wood block now.
I think it's all the same people playing the whole time. I think they're just running around the room picking up different instruments.
But, like, the thing is, some of the instruments don't drop out, so they're just, like, doing double duty now.
That's what I like to imagine.
Yeah.
Don't fact check that. I don't want
to
know.
No, nothing we say on this podcast is about wanting to get to the bottom of answers.
No, I actually would rather not.
Yeah.
So that, to me, is, like, pretty definitive, like, oh, okay. And then he twists the whole thing by ending that with a boy's dream in a boy's dream. So is any of this real, right? That's the logical conclusion?
Yeah.
So let's jump to the next line before we start giving you some answers. Are you ready?
Yep.
I watch you there through the window and I stare at you. Where nothing but you wear it so well, tied up and twisted the way I'd like to be.
Oh my god.
Did you hear it? He just
tied up and twisted the way I want to. Oh, you wait, so he's also watching this through a window?
It takes a twist and it never comes back.
Oh my god, it feels like the thing is, I'm just I feel like sometimes people take reads of older songs that are just like, oh, you're just trying to read that gross on purpose. So I was like I'm gonna give objective. It a fair shake. And then like every time I'm just like, oh, maybe I'm reading that wrong, he's like doubling down to the point that I think the next line is just gonna be like, I wanna see your pussy or something. Just so fucking like direct. It's like, I'm talking about sex. Like, what is this song?
I don't know. And I noticed it when I was like, again, wait, like 13.
People have been listening to this since 1996. What's like, wrong with you?
I Googled it because this has been a personal observation I've had for a long time. And I'm like, people must have listened to this before. I mean, Dave Matthews Band has such a massive fan base. I'm sure people know this is like a low-key,
dirty song.
This had
to go through like a label. And they were like, yeah.
Great.
Do it.
I Googled it and there's like a handful of old think pieces, if you can call them that, but just being like, did you realize it's not what you remembered it? And I'm like, how do you not immediately off the top get what he's saying?
Oh, it's a metaphorical skirt he's talking about.
No, he says, I watch you there through the window and I stare at you.
And
you
I'm wear... honking myself.
He says, you wear nothing, but you wear it so well.
You told my parents that I shouldn't be doing that, but I'm doing it still.
Okay, so now is when I'm gonna
through my window.
All right, well, that's a different song about a bird, but it's fine.
Wait, what is that song?
About a bird crashing through his window.
What's that song?
It's not a song. You just wrote it.
Oh. Oh, trademark. Nobody steal that.
So I was like, he wrote this to be gross, right? And people just misinterpreted it as a love song.
Yeah.
So I Googled it and I found what I was looking for. I actually have an answer this time. This isn't all hypothesis. During an appearance on VH1's Storytellers, all the way back in 1999. So, like, why is this not more part of the conversation with this song? I don't know.
Well, I think because there is no conversation about this song.
It's even crazier to me that this was in Lady Bird, and it was never referenced that, like, this is a porny-ass song.
Well, that's because it takes place back in, like, 2002, when it was still like, ooh, cool. This is a great song.
Here's what Dave Matthews said about it himself. Mm-hmm. He described it as a stalking narrative. He said, this song is about the worship of women. This is a bit of a crazy man. He's the kind of person you'd call the police on. He's peering in on his neighbor at this young girl who moved in or something, staring, and she's calling the police. This is not a love song.
And I'm calling a cab. And she's having a smoke.
It's just the price I pay.
And I was arrested.
But people still don't get it because I found this website, songfacts.com, and their interpretation, I'll just say what they quote here, okay? The line, tied up and twisted the way I'd like to be, could be referring to her bathrobe. The way it's tied and twisted in the front, like how a man's arms would be crossed around her abdomen if he were holding her from behind.
What?
People, like, don't want to believe that this is a gross little song, because it
also
sounds so pretty.
That's such a weird way to, like... Even if it is about a bathrobe being tied, it's like, so why is that an image for him in this song? It's like, he wants that untied.
Right.
And I don't...
We still have a little bit more toward the end of the song. Are you ready to move on?
You guys have been going off to the song for 22 years. This is Dave Matthews' fault entirely. Like, I don't... None of this, like, bad interpretation shit. If that's what he meant, that it was like, oh no, this is a bad dude, his satire failed.
I mean, come on. We haven't gotten to Randy Newman yet, and I'm pushing hard for it, but, like, I think satire can work in songs. Is it on the fault of the songwriter if people don't get it?
Yes! It's like when someone makes, it's like when they make Fight Club and a bunch of people are like, I love this. And the director has to be like, but it was ironic. It's like, if you have to come and do that, the movie didn't go far enough with saying that it was ironic.
Well, there's no harm in it. Like, people can dance to this song at their wedding, which they do. In fact, I was looking through the comments on one of the lyric pages and someone was getting very personally upset that people were pointing out the song is gross because it was her wedding song that she walked down the aisle to.
Look, I feel like you can have good memories of a song like this without recognizing the effect of it, I guess, or like what the lyrics are meaning. But at the same time, it feels weird to get defensive about it because it's just like, that's just someone else's interpretation of the song. Of course it's not what yours is.
Yeah, it only matters what it matters to you, which is exactly what I said when I chose Closer by Nine Inch Nails as my wedding song.
Sure, yeah.
And specifically the part of...
I want to fuck you like an animal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, yeah. I remember.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You were my best man, of course.
Yes.
Guys, just so you know, I'm not married. That was a joke. Okay, let's finish this tune out because we're actually still not to my favorite part. And if I know you at all, I think this will also be your favorite part.
I feel like we got some new instruments in this. Oh, the dude comes in with a kick drum now?
It might be in there where I cut it out. Then we get to my favorite part. Are you ready?
Okay.
You want to hear that again?
I'm the king of the castle and you're the dirty rascal?
Yes, it is.
What is... what does that mean?
I don't know, but I probably should listen to it again.
What is that? What does that mean?
I don't know.
I'm the king of the castle, and you're the dirty rascal.
Also, like, why is it sung to the tune of, like, na 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 na?
It sounds like he's taunting this woman who is, who has, like, moved on from him, and he's still like, you're not gonna, I'll get you again, I'm gonna come into you, ooh, and don't you... Ooh, you think you're going? Look at this game we play. I'm the king of the castle.
You're the dirty rascal.
What does that even mean?
Before I found out that it's a stalking narrative,
What is a stalking narrative also?
That he wrote it from the perspective of like a creepy man.
Oh, a stalking. Okay.
Oh, do you pronounce the L in stalking?
No, it's just like, I it's a difference between reading and hearing. Because I thought you said stalking, like a sock that is way high. And I was like, I don't know. I thought it was like, oh, yeah, it's the narrative of a stalking, like a creepy boy fetish. Yeah, he's got the long socks.
So you took a homonym and immediately assumed the one that makes no sense.
Yes, that's what I do most of the time.
I respect it, man.
Shouldn't be on a podcast because I can't hear words right.
Before I understood it was a stalking. Stalking. There you go for
you. Stalking.
A stalking.
Yeah, you
got to
say like Christoph Waltz. Thank you.
I thought that maybe it was like a kinky couple.
Mm.
And so that it was bondage he was referring to at the beginning, and now he's referring to role play.
Ooh, and their role play is, all right, I'm going to be like a
king of the castle.
King, and you're going to be you're a rascal.
Well, and I can't believe you haven't called this out yet,
dirty
but
rascal.
I'm pretty sure king of the castle is a direct quote from Borat.
It is!
I'm king of the castle.
Hey, king of the castle.
I have a chair. I'm king
of
the castle.
Wait, was he quoting this song?
I don't know.
Dirty rascal.
Maybe, man. Maybe like Sacha Baron Cohen just got into the character and channeled Dave Matthews, man.
Oh, no.
Or maybe he's referring to that game where you try to push everyone off the floater.
A what game?
Isn't that a game? You played? I played it.
Wait, a game where you push everyone off a floater?
Yeah, you try to be the only person on the floater.
What do you mean by floater?
Oh, look. Literally, here I...
Oh, la, la. King in the castle. King in the castle. Have a chair. I have a chair.
He said maybe he says king in the castle, but it's still so similar.
Oh, my God.
And by the way, King of the Castle apparently is a British game. I don't know why I played it. Where a child attempts to stand alone on like a mound or like a sandcastle or whatever it may be by pushing everyone else off.
Okay.
So when I was a kid coming from an island, it was in water. It was floaters.
Sure.
Boats, maybe.
So it's like...
You never played it? You never played King of the Castle?
No, it feels like a Hunger Games type deal.
You never played King of the Castle, Dirty Rascal?
No, what is that? The sexual version?
No, that's not one. That's Dave Matthews Band and Dave Matthews Band alone.
I also can't, I'm sorry, that like the part where the pedal, like the kick
the
pedal
double,
just goes into, yes, where, why? That's such a jarring part of the song.
Here, let me see.
That pedal is so obnoxious.
It's like four.
The thing is, as much as that pedal and the increasing amount of the exponentially increasing amount of instruments the song goes on, like, bothers me.
For, like, a whole minute.
I still am like, I bet I could hear myself, I could see myself being like, this song is so cool.
Oh, yeah. I think hating this is, like, the lamest take in the world. I'm merely saying, yo, do you guys listen to these words?
What's going on here?
Because I listen to this a lot, obviously, doing research for this episode.
Sure, and in living just, as a teen.
Right, in, like, the early 2000s, I heard this a million times. So, I have to say, after careful consideration, I don't mind this song.
Hmm.
If it comes on my shuffle, I'm inclined to just let it play.
It's on your shuffle playlist?
No, but if I'm listening to like Spotify shuffle and it thinks because I've been listening to this, maybe I want to keep hearing it.
Yeah.
And I know that was a perfect place for you to slam. Now listen to this! So I'll just call it out so you don't have to.
Well, I can't anyway. It's out of my hands.
I have the fucking ox cord, baby. So that's the whole song. What do you think? First time hearing it, really. What do you think? What do you think? Dying to hear.
I hope it's my last time hearing it.
You don't like it?
I don't not like... I can't see myself ever wanting to listen to it again,
mm-hmm.
and I can't see myself ever hearing it again without being like, oh, this is not a good song.
I see that. Although I think it's very unfair that a band like Smash Mouth can be revered now in like this weird ironic way.
Yeah.
Where we're like, we love Smash Mouth.
I feel like it was maybe just because now people can look back at Smash Mouth and the things it was aligned with and be like, well, those are obviously so ridiculous. Like, I don't think Smash Mouth would be as revered in the way that they are if it weren't for Shrek.
Yeah, I guess I agree with that, although I didn't think Shrek was weird when I saw it.
No, I mean, I don't think anyone did, but it's aged weirdly. Yeah, I think time has done a weird thing to things like that.
Like, Shrek was, I think, my favorite movie when I saw it.
I'm sure for a lot of people it was.
I'm pretty sure I was like, that's the best movie I've ever seen. Like, I remember quoting the Gingerbread Man for, like, months.
Oh, my God. I remember people buying the Gingerbread Man shirts.
I will say, in my high school...
That was me with Spy Kids, to be honest, though.
Oh, no.
I was like, whoa, Spy Kids, this is my shit.
Oh, no.
Whatever, Spy Kids rules.
Yeah, I get that.
Anyway.
So, you know, some man's Shrek is another man's Spy Kids, so I get it.
Wow, yeah, a quote for the ages.
But maybe
you're either Shrek or you're a Spy Kid.
I don't think musically this is bad.
It's not bad musically. It's the lyrics that I'm like, whoa. And then that kick pedal.
And
crash.
That's interesting.
Crash,
and then he does it.
He does it with an actual crash cymbal.
Oh my God, this is actually like genius prosody.
Crash.
First one doesn't get it because it's warming you up.
What does that mean?
Then you get it.
It's like the first time he was instructing the crash cymbal to go and it was just late.
He pointed, it was like, crash.
Crash. Come on, crash.
Crash. I'm going to keep doing this until you join me. Crash.
And then the second time, the bassist was also like, all right, I'll give him a Q2. Boom.
And then the drummer's like, when do I get to slam the kick 4 times in a row?
That's all I'm here for, man. If I could, I'd just play kick.
He's like a metal drummer.
Yeah.
I'm really honored to have been privy to this first experience, and I'm very excited we got this on tape.
Yeah.
Because I feel like what you went through in this song is what the average listener goes through, and it's part of why I'm so confused how no one pays attention to this. Because, I mean, honestly, if you just heard this playing, would you pay attention to what he was saying?
No, no. Not at all.
You'd just be like, oh, yeah, nice strummy little guitars. Cool.
He's the what of the castle? Huh?
King of the castle?
Okay, I'm going to play this one more time. Coming to you!
Okay, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
So for this punch-up, I was like, I think the song's really pretty. I wouldn't change anything about the music. But I think these lyrics are super creepy, and I don't think that this musical vehicle adequately shows how creepy they are.
Yes.
So then I started asking myself, what would be the vehicle to do so? And maybe even one where they would be more appropriate than like a sweet pop song.
Mm-hmm.
So I made one up.
You've got your ball. You got your chain tied to me. Tight.
Is this slam poetry?
Again.
Yes, it is.
Who's got their claws in you, my friend? Into your heart.
I did the whole song.
Wow.
Again.
I love the snaps.
Sweet. Like candy to my soul. Sweet. You rock. And sweet. You roll. Lost for you. I'm so lost for you. Oh, when you come.
Oh, God.
Crash in.
Feel free to add some snaps live when you're like it.
I come into you.
That's the part I like.
And yeah. I come into you.
Lots of slaps, snaps for come.
In a boy's dream. A boy's dream.
I wish you didn't whisper.
Touch
a boy's...
your lips. Just so I know, in your eyes, love, it glows.
You can feel how creepy this is now, right?
Yes.
I'm bare bones.
This guy should be arrested.
Crazy for you.
I love the background coughs. Really, I love the atmosphere.
Crash into me. Yeah, baby, when I come into you.
Okay, no, I hate this so much. Stop repeating in a boy's dream.
Hey, they're the lyrics, man. It's a poem.
If I've gone overboard, then I'm begging you to forgive me for my haste. When I'm holding you so, girl,
this is like a speech before he stabs somebody. This is like a weird monologue.
You now you hear it.
Yes, it's creepy.
Crash into me, baby. And I come into you.
It's poetry, man.
I hate poetry.
Your skirt.
How much of this are we listening to?
And show the world to me. I said, up your skirt a little more and show your world to me. A boy's dream. In a boy's dream. Oh, I watch you there through the window and I stare at you. You wear nothing. But you wear it so well.
So.
Tied up and twisted. The way I'd like
this
to
so
be.
This is so fucking creepy.
For you.
I told
you. For me. Come. Crash into me, baby. Come. Crash into me. Yeah. I'm the king of the castle.
This sounds like a...
And you were... The dirty rascal. Crash into me. Crash into me. Thank you.
It's received pretty well at the open
mic.
Yeah,
by the six people at the open mic, it sounds like. This is so... It sounds like a gross, like a guy trying to do dirty talk, and the girl is just not into it.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I chose slam poetry as the format, because where else can you do that in public and not be arrested?
Right, yeah. This seems like the man wanted to do it on a street corner, but knew they'd arrest him, that Amoeba would call the cops on him. All right.
I knew the entire time I was recording that you would be so upset.
Yes, you were correct.
You know how many takes I did to make it less creepy?
Less?
Oh,
this
boy.
Is maximum creepiness?
Oh, boy. This is the fifth take.
Boy.
The first one was like,
crash.
No, just from the start, it was like, you've got your ball. Oh, you've got your chain.
Mm.
I mean, it just, you read these lyrics and that's not, there's no other way you can read them. They're creepy.
They are creepy.
And now you know, without a shadow of a doubt, they're creepy.
I just wish that I could live in the ignorant land from before, from like an hour and a half ago.
Hey, we can. Listen.
The
hey,
thing is, the music
hey,
is
everything's
so...
everything's fine. Everything's good. Just,
no.
Just let it wash over you. It's a little bit of a this sugar after the medicine.
It's so funny that I've never heard this song, and yet these chords transport me back to...
1996.
Yes.
Yep. It's the power of Dave Matthews Band, baby. Really too bad we can't go to Labor Dave this year.
Labor Dave. Well, I'm not doing anything. Are you busy on Labor Dave?
Labor Dave, yeah. I'm working on it. Trying to be.
I wish that Dave Matthews Band would drive over that slam poetry and just empty out some shit onto the slam poets.
Yeah, I know. It made sense, right?
It makes sense.
Suddenly you're hearing it and you're like, oh, actually, this is how it should have been done.
I was like, yeah, this
and
is what he intended.
Write that great song he wrote and just change the words. Leave those words on the open mic stage.
I imagine him driving over the overpass as he's just going, ha, I'm the king of the castle and you're all dirty rascals.
It's so
insane. Just covered in poop.
It's so insane to me that like no one in the room was like, hey, you want to try that a different way?
There are no second takes on a jam band hit.
It's, again, welcome to the jam band, baby.
I...
Water's warm.
Is it?
From all the shit in
yeah,
the bus.
From all the shit in the bus. Okay. What is your unpunchable jam?
I decided to showcase another song from 1996.
Ooh, you love 1996, huh?
I just feel like this does transport you back, and so I kind of wanted to stay in that year. And so I went with a song that I love, unironically, and that is If It Makes You Happy.
Bye.
Oh, by Sheryl Crow.
Mm.
You don't know it?
No.
I'm going to play it live. I made this song. You know this song. It goes like this. I promised you I'd never give up. If it makes you happy.
I don't think I know this.
You don't know it?
I don't think I do.
Oh, God, it's
you know,
so
it
good.
Sounds like a song that would play in, like, an ad for, like, a CW show.
If CW existed in the mid-90s. Demi, what is your Unpunchable Jam?
My Unpunchable Jam is a song, you know, from a similar year, 1970.
Oh, boy. Let's take me back. What was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, take you back. It is a song called Vehicle by the Ides of March.
I do not know it. What do you like
You might
about
have heard it.
It.
It's just I don't know. I've been listening to a lot of funk. And I love you. I need you. I've got to have you, child.
Great God in heaven, you know I love.
It's just such a fun, it feels like a James Brown song.
Huh.
But also, you know, it's another one of those songs where it's like, don't listen to the lyrics, though.
Oh, really?
I mean, it seems like it's about a pimp trying to be like, get in my car.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'll make exceptions for those.
Oh, okay.
You just you know, don't listen and you
right.
just sing along.
Just listen to this while you're watching The Deuce or something, and then it's fun.
Sorry, did you mean, now listen to this?
No, I did not.
I don't have the sound clip.
I know,
available, so
but I feel
singing.
Like if you do that, then you also get to do a crash.
I'm not doing that anymore.
Okay, cool.
I have moved on.
All
that
right.
was an old bit.
Crash.
You get one, I get one, you know?
I didn't get one.
Clean slate. Your whole last episode was your one.
All right, yeah.
Moving forward, we won't tell each other anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Except sometimes.
you know what? I'm going to go home and crash. So thank you guys for listening.
Crash.
Sorry, did you mean this one?
Crash.
Yeah, the second one.
No, I think it was this one.
What's your favorite crash of the three?
Third one.
My favorite crash.
What's your favorite?
My favorite crash is the one that won Best Picture.
Oh, yeah. I actually forgot. That's why I cut this out. I was going to do that gag.
Oh, really?
Say, hey, Dave Matthews Band, what's your favorite movie?
Crash.
I forgot.
Wait, what's your favorite movie that won Best Picture?
Oh, that's easy.
Crash.
Got it. What's your favorite movie about people getting turned on by car crashes?
If I had to say one, I'd probably choose.
Crash.
Ooh. Okay, mine's Herbie Fully Loaded. I should have said Raw, actually. Anyway.
True. Listen, watch that if you haven't.
Ooh, it's so good.
Pro tip from us to you.
Yeah, we're a movie podcast now.
If you want more pro tips from us,
you can follow us on the internet.
On the internet!
You can follow Miel at Miel.
You can follow Demi at Electrolemon.
Yeah.
And you can follow us
at Punch Up the Jam on, you know, a variety of things.
You can send us emails at
punchupthejam@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We promise we'll read them.
Maybe.
Okay.
One of us will.
Immediately go back on the promise.
And also, we'll have another episode for you next week because we're committed.
Oh, to the insane asylum, baby.
Thank you.
AKA this podcast.
Hey, I'll see you there, my man.
We're already here.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Punch it! Hey! 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 Hey!
It's time for
Punch
Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hey!
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.